Desi Duggan felt his heart rate slacken as he exhaled slowly yet again. Time seemed to stand still as he squinted into the high-powered telescopic sight and squeezed his finger, light as a lover's caress, on the trigger of the 43-inch sniper rifle. Even through the scope, the target he was aiming at looked tiny. There was no margin for error here. The physical effort required to pull the trigger was minimal. But every time he took a shot, his head seemed to burst outward under the mental pressure, the concentration. The explosive sound of the weapon firing carried unimpeded across the flat, rain-swept fields. A quartet of crows that had only just settled at the top of a leafless oak tree to Desi's left took off again, squawking in alarm, and headed south toward the border with the Irish Republic. Desi, who lay prone on a short length of tarpaulin, remained still and glanced up and down the smooth, matte-black metal casing of the FNFAL semi-automatic rifle, its 21-inch barrel pointing toward a small copse almost 500 yards away at the top of a slight incline. He removed his earplugs, turned his head, and looked at his father, Alfie, who stood behind him, peering through a powerful spotting scope mounted on a monopod toward a sheet of white printer paper pinned to one of the distant trees. After a few seconds, Alfie nodded.
"Hit. About bloody time,"
Desi said, his voice low and soft. He ran his hand through his cropped black hair.
"You control that breathing, son. You control your gun. Simple as that," the older man said. "Otherwise, it controls you. And then you're finished."
He scratched at the gray and black stubble that sprouted under his chin and began to remove the scope from the monopod.
"Are we done? No time for another?" Desi asked.
Alfie looked at his watch.
"No. Been here 20 minutes already. It's way too long. We need to disappear. And anyway, Patrick's car will be here in a minute. We don't want to make him late for the airport. And my car won't be far behind."
He inclined his head toward the very tall, angular figure of Desi's oldest friend, Patrick McKinney, who stood behind him, arms folded. His hair had grown long, and he'd recently dyed it black. He had a new beard and was wearing a pair of black-framed glasses. They'd been in the same junior school class and had grown up with a Republican fire inside them that wouldn't go out. It was just past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the dregs of the pale winter sun, now down near the horizon, were casting long shadows. Desi stood, pushed the FN's safety up, and removed the empty magazine. He slid the rifle into a long black case, together with the remaining 7.62 by 51 millimeter cartridges, and zipped it up. Then he picked up the spent cartridge cases and quickly folded the tarp.
"Okay, let's go."
The three men walked around the clump of rhododendron bushes that had hidden them from view and went back along the rough farm track toward Coolderry Road, the single lane road 400 yards away. By the time they reached the road, a blue Ford Cortina that had pulled onto the shoulder next to Alfie's Land Rover stood waiting, its engine running. Desi paused for a moment. The hour just spent with his father had been their longest time together in the previous 13 months. It had been the same ever since the old man and Patrick had gone on the run, ducking and diving following their escape from Long Kesh, the maze prison southeast of Belfast, along with 36 others. Most of the escapees had long since been recaptured. Alfie and Patrick stood on the wet grass and faced each other in silence. Alfie held out a hand, and Patrick shook it slowly, then scratched the scar that ran down the right side of his face, below his cheekbone.